bro.
So, 2 seconds. Rabbi Shlomo Angel.
We're coming to the end of the Shmois, and we come to Vayakel Pekude. So there's an urge, a want, a cheshek for Klal Yisrael to make a contribution to the Mishkan. And Klal Yisrael were really fired up. It says they went out Melifnei Moshe. From Moshe, as soon as possible, the donations came flooding in. In Parsha Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chof Tes, it says, "Kol ish ve'isha asher nodav libom oisam lahivi lechol hamlocha asher tziva Hashem la'asos." All, every man and woman, that their heart was menadav, their heart wanted to bring for all the melocha, all the work, asher tziva Hashem la'asos b'yad Moshe. Then the pasuk continues and repeats, "Heviu v'nei Yisrael nedovel Hashem." So the shaila is, which the mafashim asks, why the repetition? You've just said in the pasuk, "Kol ish ve'isha she nodav libom," and they had an adiva slave, and they brought lovi lechol hamlocha. Heviu v'nei Yisrael nedovel Hashem. You've said at the beginning of the pasuk. So this question is asked by many, it seems, and we'll bring down a few tirutzim. And hopefully elaborate a bit on them. The Mekor HaDvarim comes from Reb Reuven Karelenstein. Sorry, who brings these tirutim. And hopefully they say this in themselves. The first teretz he brings down is from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. To learn pshat in the posuk. Apparently, however strange it may seem, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, that when it came to giving an adova to the Mishkan, the Eder of Rav wanted to give an adova as well. Of all people. The Eder of Rav came and they said, well, everyone's coming along. It was a mood in Klal Yisrael, people coming, going, bringing, Zov, and Chesed, and Chesed, Chines, Hagom, and Trashon, and everyone was coming. So the Eder of Rav came again. Came as well. So when Eden saw that, they said, no, we're not having this. We're not having bosoms. The Eid of Rav, they were instrumental in the eagle. They were a thorn in Klal Yisrael's side. Forget it. We don't want your nadova. Thank you very, very much for your for offering, but it's not to be. Well, Lemaisa, they wanted to bring. And there is Zov and Chesav and Choshes, which is necessary to bring. So the Mishkan's going to lose out. So if the Mishkan's going to lose out, is that fair? I mean, they've had this shaila in the past when, let's say, for example, a member of Reform wants to give an adova to a moiset. Apparently, I've been told in the past that brisk oilam don't go collecting for brisk. Reb David zol gezunt zayin and lahav demechaim lechaim Reb Yosher Be'er and the mayor, all these people lahav demechaim lechaim. They were told, you just sit and give shurim, and the money will come in. So I was told by a stalwart brisker, they don't go fundraising for brisk, generally speaking. I mean, if someone does come along, excuse me, please. But Al-Kuponim, generally speaking, they don't. They had a brocha from the briskerov, and they said, as long as you're always going to take money from the right source, you've got nothing to worry about. Once, I remember years ago, they had a crisis in brisk, and they needed money, and the duck had gotten quite a bit of money from a person they'd never heard of before. So they made inquiries about this person, and apparently the Ashkofers weren't so ototot as it should be. So they sent back a very nice letter, sorry, thank you very much for your donation, but it's not necessary, whatever it is. And they were matzliach afterwards. Because the mice of it is, when a person, if it's a moised, or it's something about to start, which is important, The Makir means a lot. The roots of it means a lot. So the aid of Rav Lemaisa wanted to donate. And we need these donations. But we're not taking it from the aid of Rav. We're building a Mishkan here. And therefore they said the following. Look here. We'll make a cheshbon of how much you wanted to bring. The aid of Rav. Let's say 100 kilos of copper. 5 kilos of silver. And we ourselves, Bnei Yisrael, will donate extra to compensate for the loss of what the aid of Rav are going to bring. So Rabbi Yonis and Ibishit says, that's a pshat in the posuk. Kol ish ve'ishan shenodav libom oisom. That's the aid of Rav. Lo evi l'chol amloch ha'shetuvim la'atis b'yad Moshe. But they didn't want it. So if you Bnei Yisrael, Nadov al Hashem. The Bnei Yisrael brought that Nadov instead. That's how Rabbi Yonis and Ibishit learns the posuk. This makoir of if you want to build something, the purer the makoir, the more long-standing this building will be, is something which we learn from Pashas Pekudei. Because the Bzchari Geli, Zala Gezun Zayn, the Bzchari Geli said, told us once, but I think is another makoir for this as well, he told us that when Rivka was about to leave home, and to go with Eliezer, so their parents asked her, well, her mother, Lavan, asked her, do you want to go with this man? So it says, Vatoimer, she said, Eilich, I will go. So Rashi says, what she meant was, and even if you don't want me to go, I'm going to go as well. What did she mean by that? And even if you don't want me to go, I'm going to go as well. So Reb Zchari Geli said, that the pshat is like this, he brought a Sephorna and Pashas Pekudei. Pasha, the Svaran Pasha Pekudei says that the Mishkan was, it says, Atzei Shittim Oimdim. Oimdim lo ad olel melome, will always be there. What was special about the Mishkan? The Mishkan, what was special about it was, who said it should be built? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who was it built by? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, and well, the ones that were instrumental were Bezalel and Aliyov. So when the Mekoyer of a building is pure, then that lasts Adon Netzach Netzachim. The first Beis HaMikdash already had Goyim from Tyre helping in building the Beis HaMikdash, so that didn't have such a kiyum. That wasn't such an establishment. A gevadah, Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaMikdash, but certain things were destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash, Lechetchila, was only built with the permission initially of Cyrus, that's Kodesh. So Abu Zaladi Goy, the permission was given, and then afterwards it stopped, and then Daryovish came along and gave permission. But Al Kaponim, it wasn't as it should be, so it was destroyed Kamat completely. Because depending on the Makoir Advorim, depending on Makoir, that is how the building follows. It doesn't have to be a building, it could be anything like that. Anything which is Dovash Beknusha, the more purity of motive that there is behind it, that gives it more strength. That's what it said. We can see that many a time. That's a Metzias Hadova. That's one pshat. Then he brings another pshat, which is an interesting pshat. But this is already a Keheles Yitzchok who elaborates on this. I'll just tell you the story behind it, briefly. The story behind it was like this. It was what they say, a famous story at the time, famous if you've heard it. The Mashor had a very large yeshiva. But however big the yeshiva was, it wasn't big enough for all the Bochrim they wanted to hear. So the only way out was to build a new building, a new yeshiva. And for that you needed money. So they decided they were going to make a Hanochas Eben Apino. Hanochas Eben Apino means they were going to make a big tekes, and people would donate for the building, and the person that would donate the most would have the schus of having putting the first stone, the Eben Apino, he would have the schus of laying that first stone. So there was a balabos in the community that went up to the gabba, and he said to him, look here, however much people are donating, I want to donate more than that, but I don't want anyone to know who I am. No one's to know who I am. So, okay, if that's what you want. So the bidding started. People started bidding. And whenever the Gabba heard a bid, he always upped it. No one knew who they were bidding against, but this Balabol said, I don't want anyone to know who it is. You just carry on. Eventually, people stopped bidding because it was always upped. And this person got the schus. So the Gabbo went up to him and said, well, you know, it's your, I don't want to do it. This is going to be private. I want the Mashor. He's going to lay the Evan Apino. The Mashor himself. So the Gabbo went up to the Mashor. Said to York, the person that donated wants the Rosh Hashiva to lay the Evan Apino. All right, very nice. But I want to know who it is. And it wants to. So in the end, the Gabbo went to this Balabos. And so the Balabos Rosh Hashiva wants to know who gave him the schus. It won't be public, but he wants to know. So this Balabos came to the Mashor, and the Mashor was very happy. And he said, thank you so much for the schus of laying the Evan Apino. What sort of business are you in? He says, I'm not a special Isha. I'm not specially rich, but I haven't got any children, and therefore I want to say, Sati, and therefore I want to donate towards it. So the Mashor said, thank you very much, it's a gewaltige schus, but Hashem, you should have a child next year, Ke'ischayo l'sorobein. And that's what happened, and the Mashor told him at the time, and when you want this child grows up, the son grows up, and he wants to get into the yeshiva, he will definitely be able to get into the yeshiva. And the kachava, the next year his wife had a son, and he grew up, and he wanted to be accepted to the yeshiva, and they didn't want to accept him, he was a bit young at the time, it seems. So the Balabos went to the Mashor, and he said, Rebbe probably remembers me, I'm the one that ever gave a brocha. Oh, yeah, straight away, you've got a son, into the yeshiva, no problem. So he lets pshat in the posuk, the Keles Yitzchok lets pshat in the posuk. Kol ish ve'isha asher nodav libom oisam lo hayop v'lechol amlocha asher tzivu asem las b'yad Moshe. So all who wanted to give a donation as Amin b'pchinas Evan Apino to be, have a chilek in the Mishkan, and because of that Evihu b'nei Yisrael nadav l'Hashem, because of that b'schazos had children, because they had they were instrumental in it, and they had the schus of bringing b'nei Yisrael, they bring their children as well. Interesting pshat. It's a nice pshat anyway. So these are some of the pshotim in why we have a repetition. Yeah, some say because they had children, have you been Israel, and some say the when they did something like that, they didn't just say, "Oh, we're the ones going to bring." Have you been Israel, Adon Hashem? They brought the children as well, because it's very good, important to have the children involved as well. So they didn't just come themselves. It's the beginning of course of Kalish Ve'isho, but also besides, have you been Israel? They brought their children as well. Very nice pshat. All pshat and what's a pshat in the posuk. Well, I want to try to add here another very important thing which one can see with pieces for him, the sofrim, when it comes to the donations for the Mishkan. First of all, there's no doubt about it that every person that donated had a chilek in the Mishkan. Very important. And Rabbi Yaakov Galimsky brings down in Pasuk this week, said in Pasuk Vayakil, all Klal Yisrael are b'nei melochim, and they're all important, and every person's donation was important, because everyone brought a bit of themselves with it, a bit of themselves. Rabbi Socha Frand writes in the Chedik base of the Sefer on the Chumash, he says, it says, V'anasim eviu es avnei shoyam es avnei meluim le'ifet v'lachrishem. The Nasim brought, and it says, it chosa. The seam is chosa, the way it's spelled, hey nun, sin aleph mem, without the yud, because lemaisa, there was a certain chisoran, because they left their donation to the last. They said, whatever other people don't bring, we will bring. And that was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that. Then the shaila is, why was it a mistake? It's a wonderful thing. If a person's going to build a building, and someone comes along and says, look, however much is missing, even if you've got thousands which are missing, it doesn't matter, I'll donate whatever's missing. That's a very nice thing to do. Very commendable. So why is it, what was wrong in the Nassim saying, whatever's missing, we'll bring? And in the end, it was the Avni Shoyam. What was wrong with that? So he brings down the Pesach of Fran, that the Maisa, we can see that perhaps people have got the wrong idea in what the Nadova to the Mishkan was. As he explains, the Nadova to the Mishkan wasn't stum. a building campaign, as he says, that there was a shortfall and the Nasim would donate whatever the shortfall was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted people to donate to the Mishkan. It was an inyan of the Mishkan, the Nadavah to the Mishkan was an opportunity to be able to get a schus. Nothing to do with, I want to donate because there's going to be a shortfall, and I'll donate whatever's missing. No, it's a din in the nedivus lev of the person. And that was something which was missing from the Nasiyah. We don't need, it's not pshat, there's a shortfall here, therefore I will donate. I want to see the sort of cheshek that you have in donating towards the Mishkan, which the rest of Klal Yisrael had. And that's for everyone. So he brings down an interesting maisa here, an interesting story. If a person is giving fundraising for a moysid, and it comes to an oisha, and the oisha sits him down, please, what would you like? He said, I need so much for a building. Let's say £500,000. So the oisha says, well, how much have you got already? He said, I've got nowhere there, my only quarter of that amount. So the oisha will say, look here, how long are you here for? He said, I'm here for another couple of days. He said, right, whatever you find missing, I will give you, I'll make sure that you'll get your £500,000. Pee, that's how much a brocha. That would be a brocha. It's sweet music in any mashulach's ears. I'm going to make it up. So he says like this, it's not such a brocha. And he says that when Menachem Begin, he became Prime Minister of Eretz Yisrael, the Bishlema Lawrence was told to set up a meeting with him, so that perhaps the government should donate towards the moistas. Should give money towards the moistas. The yeshivas, the seminaries. Yeshivas, because yeshivas. So he set up this meeting, and Reb Shlomo Lawrence came to Menachem Begin, and he asked him, please, is it possible for the government to donate? So Menachem Begin at first said, that you want the government to donate towards giving money towards the yeshivas. I'm afraid to say, I don't want to give something towards a donation towards the yeshivas. Oh no, flop. No, I want to give all the money to the yeshivas. That's what Menachem Begin said. I want the yeshivas should be funded completely by the government. Yeah, when Shlomo Lawrence said that, it was sweet music in his ears. As soon as possible, he told the Oilam who were waiting, what's the outcome of this meeting? He said, Raboisai, we've got such a brocha here, such a blessing here, and the blessing is that the yeshivas don't have to worry anymore. All the yeshivas and etzes are going to be funded by the government. And if Shach was there waiting to hear the result, and he heard the result, and you could see he got up to speak, and he was in a turmoil. He said, we don't want such an agreement with the government. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. Whenever there's a moysed needs to get the nadavas from the people in the merit of the people should have a merit. They should have a schus. Here the government supplying me anything, so no Rosh Hashiva now has to go fundraising. They're not knocking on people's doors. The people haven't got the schus of donating towards the moysed. We don't want that. We shouldn't have that. We don't want it. And he said, the same happened to the Chofetz Chaim. Someone came to the Chofetz Chaim and offered to cover the whole budget of the Radon Yeshiva, and the Chofetz Chaim turned it down. And it explained that the nations that one gives, whatever it is, it provides the donors with a schus which is nitzchi. And if we're not going to go collecting, then it's depriving Balabatim of the schus of giving towards yeshivas. So that's the sort of donation we're expecting. Every person that gives towards a moysed is gaining for themselves an oilam nitzchi. And therefore, it fell through. The government didn't supply everything. They supplied, but not all the money for the yeshivas. I think if that was the case. Because the lemaisa of it is, one doesn't know who's supporting whom. In Yaakov Lecher Toiv, he brings down the lemaisa from Reb Lezer Gordon. The Blazer Gordon was an Odom Godlad Moid, and he made a good shidduch with a wonderful girl, and his shver was a man of means, and he said, you just sit and learn and don't worry about anything else. And he sat and learned, and he learned, and he learned, and he became later on the great Blazer Gordon, Rosh Hashiva of Telz. But there came a time when his wife said to him, look here, my father's been supporting us for so long, and we've got job offers. Please tell our father enough is enough. Tell my father enough is enough. Tell my father I want to take on a job as a Rav. So the Blazer Gordon said, okay. So Blazer Gordon went to his Shver and he said, thank you so much for what you've given in the past, but now enough is enough. I want to take on a job as a Rav. So the Shver said, please, please don't do that. I'll give you more money. Get more money. You just sit down there. So he did that. And that happened a few times until eventually his wife said, enough is enough. The next job that comes up, you have to take. Right? Okay. So the next job came up. He went up to Shver and he told the Shver, my dear Shver, thank you so much. You've supported me more and more and more. But now the time has come. when I want to take on a job. Look, I want to support you more. I'll give you more money. No. It's like, now the time has come. So they packed their bags. And it says in Yalkut Lekach Toiv, it says that Vahi, they were just going out of town when there was a messenger that came from Yam and said, stop. Your Shver is just nifta. Your Shver is just passed away from this world. Now, and the Blessed Gordon's wife could never forgive herself for that. Because her father had always said, who's supporting who here? You think I'm supporting your husband in learning? He's supporting me. The fact that I can give towards this man, great man's learning, who's supporting you? I'm not supporting him. He's supporting me by his learning. Me, machzik is me. Who's supporting who? And now that I see, it's 100% true. The fact that my father was supporting you, the Blessed Gordon, all this time, he was really supporting himself as well. Because when a person gives an adova towards something, and as we said right at the beginning, it's with purity of mind, I want to do it for the right reasons, it doesn't just build moistness, it builds themselves as well. And the more pure, as we said, the greater it is. And this is what's happened here as well. This is the Namaisa. And we've just finished off, we said that every single person that makes a donation is special in their own right. I've been looking for this story a long time. I've Dafka gone out to look for the story. And yesterday I saw this Maisa. I saw this Maisa brought it in a sefer called Noyam Siach. Noyam Siach. And the klal is, as long as a person is doing the right thing, they've got nothing to worry about. And of course, the more purity of mind behind it, it can't go wrong. And this was the Maisa, this was the story in the Megillas Esther, that it says, Ish Yehudi hoyo b'shushan abiro. So the Medrash says, Ish Yehudi al tikra Yehudi elo yechidi. He was an individual, one person. What can one person do? Well, look what one person did. By the way, it's brought down in Simichas Chachomim, what's Pshat al tikra? It doesn't say Ish Yechidi in the Pasuk. It says Ish Yehudi in the Pasuk. What's a Pshat? Whenever it says al tikri, there's a safe on that. Whenever it says al tikri, don't read it this way, read it another way. What's a Pshat in that? So the Simichas Chachomim says, it's brought down there, the Simichas says, that whenever it says al tikri, means don't just read it Yehudi, you've got to have a little akdoma first. How do you describe a Yehudi? You know how to describe a Yehudi? Yechidi. Every single need is special in their own right. So when it says, Al Tikri Yehudi, Ish Yehudi, Hoyo B'Shushan Biro, Al Tikri Yehudi, who are we talking about? Ayid, very nice Ayid. Who's Ayid? Oh, Ayid is a Yochid. Every Ayid is special in their own right. That's what Pshat Ish Yehudi. And look what they did. Look what he did. Ish Yehudi. So he says that as long as a person does something with Mesilas Nefesh, it's okay. Now this is a story, one of the stories that he brings. It's a Gewaldige Meister, a very sweet story. I mean, I think it's sweet anyway. When Lord Jakobowitz was chief rabbi of England, he was once received a letter from Buckingham Palace. And Buckingham Palace were inviting him to Azami luncheon, which Her Royal Highness the Queen was making. And they invited different dignitaries rabbis included, to this luncheon. So Lord Jakobowitz writes back, I'm sorry. I don't know what his nusach was. His English is better than mine. Anyway, so he wrote there that you appreciate I can't eat at such a gathering because I only eat kosher, and therefore Well, I have to decline the offer. So they got a letter back from the government don't worry about that. We'll have everything arranged, the crockery, and it'll be, you just tell us what to do. We'll arrange everything for you. B'tzois Hashem darkeish. That's the way it works. So anyway, he came Taka to this stew with his Rebbetzin, Lady Amalia Kovitz, they came to this stew together, and they could see everything was arranged for them. Everything was arranged for them. The crockery that was labeled, and the food, and the kashas, hakob takas the kashas, right? So there was Her Royal Highness, the Queen, Prince Philip, I'm not sure if he was there, but Prince Charles definitely was there. Prince Charles was there. Al Kaponim, he sits down with his Rebbetzin, and he's talking to people at the table, and he gets his special crockery, with a knife and fork, all prepared beforehand, and he explained what he needs. It's all done. That person there in charge, fine. And then, after the first course, for some reason or another, everyone gets up, and people start moving around. So Lord Yakobovitz Chenevrocha asks, what are people doing? This is one of the laws that we have here, that we've got to get to know everyone, so we change tables. As the meal progresses, we change tables. So you go to another table, I go to another table, you meet someone else, oh, how are you? Nice day today, whatever it is, and we carry on that way. It's just very nice. I've got my crockery here. So he takes his plate, and he takes his crockery, I don't know where he put them today, and he goes to the next table, and he sets it out as well, and he starts schmoozing, and then the next course, again, he's taking his plate, and he goes to the next table, and he changes table each time. In the end of the Suda, right there in the Suda, now you meet the Prince Charles. So all of them came to Prince Charles. So when Prince Charles saw Rabbi Yakobovitz, he said, oh, here's the rabbi with the plates. Here's the rabbi with the plates. Because he noticed that he was going around with his plate all over the place. So Prince Charles said, Alzeva Almazeh. Ludas Mazeva. What exactly were you doing? So Lord Yakovitz explained to him a shia, a quick shia in Hilchas Kashrus. They said, but this is what we need. Oh, very interesting. And not only that, this is amazing. He brought Her Royal Highness the Queen to listen to the conversation as well. And she came as well. And it was all being explained. Now, I can't say unfortunately, but there was a reform rabbi there as well. And initially, when he saw Lord Yakovitz going along with his plate and his cutlery all over the place, and so he said to him, what exactly are you doing here? We said, well, you know, kashrus. Oh, come off it. Kashrus, I ain't kashrus. I mean, you're making yourself look stupid in the eyes of the public. You can't do such a thing. So Lord Yakovitz said, I'm sorry, this is the way it goes. So when this reform rabbi saw that Lord Yakovitz was honored to have a Zami conversation with Prince Philip, so he went up to Prince Charles and says, I'm also a rabbi. He said, where are your plates? you can't be a rabbi. A rabbi has explained to us, you need plates, and you haven't got it. Sometimes I go for state best of Yayid. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. And he understood that Fashtanen, those two unauthentic Yayid, and that's the way it works. So he brings down a Noam Siach, this Meiser, a Moridic advice. So, but so is Hashem Darkish, but Ish Yehudi, Hoyo Beshish Nabiro, Ish Yechidi, those are individuals. So every individual that donated towards the Mishkan, it was a Bebetzilus Nefesh, and that's why the Beis Hamikdash was Atish Shittim Oimdim. But there's another very important element here, which Chaim Ephraim Zaychik brings down in his Sefer. And he brings down the following. Lemaisa, with all that, and there were individuals, he brings down that besides that, there had to be another very important clause. Bezalel was the one that was going to be in charge of whatever went into the Mishkan. So he brings down, but it had to be done in a way where there was Be'itoy. Be'itoy or Leo ben Achisomach Lamatidon. Because it's all very well for one person to be in charge, but that's the way it goes. It says in the Mishnah, I want other people to join as well. See if you can work with someone else. And that's what and Bezalel rose to the occasion, and he worked very well with Aliyov. Bezalel could have done it all himself, but that's not good enough. It's very good for individuals. There was a place called Elom. Elom was, as mentioned in the Neil. And this place called Elom was a very good place, a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, but there was something wrong. They didn't give of their learning to others. They all learned for themselves. It's very nice, very good, but there was something wrong there. They didn't give it to others. There's a union of lilmoid or lelamed, to learn and to teach others as well. And that's the way it goes. So this was a shtickl, a test for Bezalel. And as I said, he passed the test. He worked together. Because whatever we do, however important the individual is, one needs the shutvus as well. One needs partnership. I'm working together with someone else. A very important yesoid. So this yesoid is there. We come back to initially. It says that it says they went melifnei Moshe. They went out melifnei Moshe. From Moshe Rabbeinu. And they all went out as individuals, as we said. They were in the spoil. Yeah, we want to donate. But at the same time, they work together as well. We're all part of the building of the Mishkan. And that's how it is with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are all wonderful individuals in their own parts, otherwise they wouldn't be born into this world. But at the same time, there's such an important yesoid of being able to work together with others. It's not me that's done it, we work together with others. But this is something they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu with Aaron, and how he worked together with Aaron HaKohen, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a leader, but they worked together, they respected each other, and Klal Yisrael saw that, because that's the way it works. That's the way it'll work. I'll just end off here with a story, another story. First of all, there's an importance of working with individuals, but and on the other hand, there are many stories like this, as I say it, but that it's got to be together with someone else. I will mention one story, where you see the guidance of an individual. All right, but here we're talking about the Chofetz Chaim. But at the same time, we see what it means to work together. To work together. This happened in America, this miser. And Ryang Rov told over this story. He was a hospital chaplain. And he told this miser over. There was unfortunately a terrible accident with one of the people in a young man, a Yid, that was brought into hospital. And the doctors had given up hope. There's no hope here. Very unfortunate. Hours to live. So they managed to contact, they looked through his jacket, they contacted the sister. The sister came along, saw a brother like started wailing and crying. And the doctor said, "I'm very, very sorry, he hasn't got much longer to go. Where's the father?" So the sister said, "Well, our father's here, right? Bring him over." So they managed to get hold of the father. The father came to hospital. This Rov said this over. Rov came to hospital. And he said, he looked at his son. And he said, "Right, thank you very much. Right, I can go now." So they thought, you know, this is your son. So they thought, "Chris, he's an elderly man. There must be something wrong with him. He's not clicking. What's happening?" So the doctor said to this young man, to the Rov, he said, "Explain to him that your son is not going to be in this world very much longer. So therefore, perhaps I can suggest that he has the last few words." So they told the father that. He said, "Yeah, I heard what you said, but I've got things to do. I'm going now." So they thought it really lost the plot. What's the matter with you? And they looked at him as if, sorry, or ganz posha, he's not in his right mind. So he smiled and he said, "Look here. You probably think I've lost the plot. I haven't lost the plot at all. I lived in Radin." This is what he said. "I lived in Radin. And there in Radin, you've got the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim wrote his Mishnah Berurah. Now he asked a group of Balabatim to check over the Mishnah Berurah to see if regular people could learn the Mishnah Berurah. And I was one of this group. And the Chofetz Chaim was eternally grateful to me. That I went through it with what's easy to understand. Perhaps it's a bit more difficult. Perhaps this can be changed." He was eternally grateful to me. And he gave me two brochas. He gave me one. Brocha number one he gave me was that I'm going to live to a ripe old age. And at the moment, I'm 76. And I don't call this a ripe old age. So that's number one. And the other thing he told me is, "I'll be zoicha that all my children will outlive me." That's what he told me. That all my children outlive me. So what are you worried about? The children, my father, the Chofetz Chaim said, "Outlive me." So I can see my son as it is. I've got no problem with that. He'll get better. So therefore I'm leaving. I've got other things to do. And he left the hospital. Now he was only meant to live a few hours. So next day the Rav came back to the hospital and he said, how's he doing? So the doctor said, "We cannot believe what happened here. He was way out. There was no hope." And all of a sudden he opened his eyes And since that time, he's opened his eyes, he started communicating. 2 weeks later, he left the hospital. A well person. Now, we always know that up here and down, up there and down here, there's a very strong connection. But I was, when I saw this story yesterday, I thought to myself, it's not pshat, I've got avada, ish Yehudi Yehoyo, that's the Chofetz Chaim, ish Yehudi Yehoyo, a kevaldik, a brocha from the Chofetz Chaim. But what made the brocha bichal? The fact that people worked together with him. This person worked with him. Right, and once mishtatav in the inyan, once it becomes a shutfus, it's a mori digasag. Like I see, I've got 2 more minutes. Some another story has come to my mind, so I'm going to say that it will bring us up to 10-2 position. This I read straight after the Stipulus Patira. I don't know if it's written anywhere. There was a pamphlet that was brought out after the Stipulus Patira. And the Maisa was like this. This Maisa hasn't got such a happy ending. So, in some ways, this person lived a life. There was a person that came to the Stipler. This was written in the pamphlet. And told the stipler, all my family have been nifta young, and I'm very worried about that. I'm very worried. So therefore, Rebbe, give me a brocha that I should live a long life. So the stipler said, I'll tell you, if you say the tefillah of Yom Kippur cotton every month, the tefillah of Yom Kippur cotton, then everything should be okay. V'kachava, month after month, year after year, he was there. He was there. One evening, he came back home, and his wife served supper. And after supper, his wife said to him, he'd never told his wife about this, it seems. I don't think. His wife said to him, don't forget Yalav Yovoy. He went white in the face. White in the face. He'd forgotten the Tefillah of Yom Kippur Kotten. That month he was Nifter. That month he was Nifter. So we ask ourselves a question. What was the Peshat here? Avada, Ish Yehudi, Ish Yehidi was a stipler. But the fact that he was doing what the stipler told him, it became a shutfus. A lot of people don't see, I don't see it in Yom Kippur Kotten every Erev Shchedesh. What was it? The fact that there was a connection here. And that connection was made. So this connection we've got, Ish Yehudi, everyone is special in their own right with Andover, but we're working together, Ito Yelub B'nech HaSomach, with that Bez Hashem, by Lifnei Moshe, whichever Shia you're about to hear, you have heard, you will hear, Asher Kam Shchilchem, it will be recognized that all these Shurim will have a schus for the person that gives it and for the people that hear it.